Brooklyn's Radio Surrey News Review for Friday the 14th of July. A look at the week's local news in Surrey. I'm Graham Laycock, and at the Surrey Advertiser News Desk is journalist Tom Smurthwaite to discuss this week's local news stories. And first look at the main stories this week. Weybridge Hospital gutted by a huge fire. Local plan next stage delayed after thousands of responses in Umbridge. And a Blue Badge parking fee battle goes on. All these stories and more as I'm joined by Tom. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Graham. How are you?
Right, thank you very much. And you?
Yeah, not bad today. Thank you very much.
Good, good, good. Right, well, shall we start with this major fire that's gutted Weybridge Hospital?
Yes, so for anyone who hasn't heard or isn't aware, there was a massive fire that broke out at the Weybridge Hospital and Health Centre site overnight on Tuesday. Crews from nine stations around Surrey rushed to the scene and were on the site most of Wednesday and Thursday, dampening down and trying to make the area safe. Residents in nearby Minorca Road and Church Street were evacuated, initially to St James's Parish Church, which is very near the scene, and then on to the Weybridge Centre for the Community. So, yeah, it's a huge incident. There's some very dramatic pictures that were taken by witnesses at the time of sort of huge flames going into high into the air. And, yeah, there's a major operation by the Surrey Fire and Rescue Service to quell the flames and reduce the smoke the following day.
Yes, indeed, and I understand there were also some explosions as well during the fire.
Yeah, lots of witnesses reported hearing explosions. A lot of the residents I spoke to on Wednesday also said the same. We understand it was to do with the oxygen tanks that are at the hospital site. There's no indication yet that an explosion would have caused the fire, although a cause has yet to be announced by Surrey Fire and Rescue. I asked for an update this morning from Surrey County Council, who manage the service. They actually told me that the investigation is yet to start. That's all they told me. They didn't give me any further information. So I can only presume that they're still making the site safe, dampening down, because it's a very fragile structure at the moment.
Yes, certainly yesterday and today there has still been further activity there as well. And I know Philip Hammond, of course the local MP from Runnymede and Weybridge, visited the site late on Wednesday.
Yes, I managed to get a quick word with him after he'd had a tour of the site. He told me it was a mess. And he talked about plans to hopefully build a new centre there, a new medical centre, a more sort of state-of-the-art centre for Weybridge, which, judging by some of the public opinion following the fire, there seems to be a big call, obviously, not to sell the land for development, for a care home or for flats, but to keep it as a hospital site for Weybridge and the surrounding area. I'm sure that's the view of most people in the town and surrounding towns and villages. But, yeah, no, he's actually become involved in a bit of a row with the fire brigade union. I asked Mr. Hammond what he thought of the cuts to the Surrey Fire and Rescue, and he said that he hadn't seen any evidence of any problems, but this was obviously disputed by the fire brigade union, who pointed out that there were a few issues on the day and during the night dealing with the incident, such as a lack of staff at the call centres. And also the sort of deployment of resources when it happened, because there's obviously another fire in Ockham, which is quite a major incident. So they were quite stretched, as you'd expect, from the two major fires.
Yes, indeed. And I understand also where it was good to see the community pulling together during Wednesday.
Yeah, so I was down at in Weybridge all day on Wednesday, and one of the things I noticed, apart from obviously the large amount of smoke that was in the town, was the amazing community spirit that was on show. So the residents were moved to the community centre, Churchfield Road, and all day they were receiving food and drink donations from local supermarkets, cafes, pizza chain as well. So they were. I spoke to a few of the residents in the day, and they were all saying how appreciative they were of the community effort. I spoke to a lady who was offering a house for some of them to have a shower and to have a proper sleep. So, yeah, it's quite heartening in an event like this. And also, shouldn't underestimate the role of St James's Parish Church as well. They opened their doors in the middle of the night to accept residents, and they also held a few meetings there for the CCG and the groups that run the hospital and the hospital staff. So, yeah, the community came together. Even residents during the day were just popping down to give to give sandwiches and drinks to the firefighters and the police officers who were down at the scene. So that was a heartening thing to take from the whole incident.
Yes, and looking at the dramatic pictures of the fire and then the aftermath in the Surrey Advertiser, you can just see this shell that remains, isn't it? Just the ground and first floor brickwork, and then everything inside seems to have collapsed and been burnt out and hollowed out.
Yeah, no, it's a complete write-off if you look at the pictures. Obviously, there's been no official line on what they're planning to do at the site, but you wouldn't think anything is salvageable. Because, as you say, there's just the surrounding walls appear to be all that's left.
Yeah, and the other issue now, of course, is all the services that were there. There were a couple of GP surgeries, weren't there, for example?
Yes, we had the Rowan Tree and Church Street practices. We found out yesterday from the North West Surrey CCG that they are moving now to the Burwood Ward in Walton Hospital in Rodney Road. So they expect a normal service to be resumed by early next week, but they've made the transition. And they're asking people only to go if it's an absolute emergency, and because they're still trying to put matters in place. But there has been an official release on the plans. Among other things, the baby clinic and the paediatric speech and language therapy, they're going to be in the Weybridge Shawstart Children's Centre on Churchfield Road until September. There's been news about prescriptions. I believe that they're going to carry on as normal, but you obviously will not be able to collect them from the hospital. But other pharmacies should have your details on record digitally, so you should be able to collect prescriptions from there.
Good.
They've been working very hard to put contingency plans in place.
Mm. And I guess the walk-in centre, obviously, there's the nearest ones now are either Woking or Ashford, or I guess some people will just have to go up to St Peter's A&E.
Yes, they have advised that Woking and Ashford are the official places to go. Again, they've issued advice that only to go if it's an absolute necessity. If maybe you couldn't or you don't have to go, then to bear that in mind, because they will be under particularly strain at this time, losing such a sort of a large resource in Weybridge.
Indeed. Right, another Elmbridge story now about the local plan. It's being delayed after thousands of responses.
Yeah, so this was the Elmbridge plan. They launched a draft local plan in December and held an 8-week consultation. It's how the Elmbridge sort of plans to meet its the housing demand that it's been stated that it has to provide. So they were told by a housing market assessment they need to build 9,480 homes by 2035. So they published this plan, and obviously Elmbridge isn't the only council. The councils all through Surrey are now working on their local plans. The Elmbridge one in particular caused a bit of controversy because they identified three areas of what they called weakly performing greenbelt, one in Longdiston, one in Cobham, and one in Stoke Dabernon. And the residents of these areas were particularly against this idea, and they are among the majority of the comments that the Elmbridge Borough Council has received. I got a comment from the Longdiston Residents Association, and they were talking about the high stakes of the local plan and what sort of precedent it sets, and also the valuable nature of greenbelt land, and if it's gone, then it goes. In long distance case, the greenbelt there serves as a sort of barrier between it and Surbiton, and then you're getting to sort of outer London. So they made this point as well. And the Borough Council have issued a sort of updated statement on where they are with their local plan, and they said because of all the comments, there's almost 50,000 comments, they're going to delay what they do next until sort of early 2018. Another slight issue that has come in is that the government has said that they're going to review the way that they calculate how areas, how many houses an area needs, because the previous way was quite controversial. There also seem to be all sorts of different ways for all sorts of different areas on how you calculated housing need. So they've now come up and said they're going to devise a new methodology, which they're going to consult on this summer. So it's all a bit of a sort of holding period while we await news on what the government plans to do with
capital. Yes, because there are also government deadlines, I think, for local authorities to come up with their plans, isn't there, as well? Otherwise the government decides.
Yeah, they threatened that if they don't sort out the local plan, and they'll come in and do it for all the councils, which obviously the councils are not too keen on.
No.
But yeah, well, it looks like it's on hold, the Elmbridge local plan, for the moment. But they will have to be wary of the government deadlines.
Right. Well, we whiz over to Guildford now to talk about the Spectrum and that roof that needs repair.
Yeah, so it's the very popular Guildford Spectrum, and its failing roof. They've now been announced that they're going to repair parts of the roof. They were talking about possibly building a new sports facility, but that was going to cost around £12 million. So I think they decided for the time being just to carry out a few repairs to stop the issues with water getting into the building, water getting into a swimming pool, which is may not be the biggest problem, but yeah, water getting into other parts of the building is obviously a huge issue. They're going to do this through the summer. That's when they've worked out that this actually gets the lowest amount of use during the school holidays, which surprised me a little bit, but obviously they've worked it all out. Various pools will be closed during the summer, and they'll continue to work on it from September through to October. And the leisure pool will be closed at that point, but the 25-metre pool, the teaching pool and the dive pool will be open through this period. So that's good news. A statement from Guildford Borough Council said the works are intended to ensure the venue remains fit for purpose for at least the next 10 years. So that's good. A 10-year plan for the Spectrum and hopefully to stop the water getting in the roof.
Absolutely. That's good news, isn't it? Now, Blue Badge parking fees battle goes on.
Yeah, this is over in Waverley. In April, they announced the introduction of a parking charges for Blue Badge holders. It was going to be a means tested, so obviously based on how much money you have. When it was introduced, it received quite a lot of complaints, and a petition was started, people objecting to the plan. They actually suspended the idea. But the issue is still rumbling on. Objectors are still concerned that Waverley haven't completely dismissed the idea. One of the lady who started the petition is Amanda Clegg from Milford. And she said, "We haven't really made any progress at all. I have a couple of friends in wheelchairs and a disabled mother who lives outside of Waverley, so it will affect her. The point has been raised that those residents already on benefits will not have to pay. But what on earth do people do who don't live in Waverley?" So, yeah, it's quite hard to means test someone who doesn't live in the borough, who's got a blue badge, and then comes into the borough to park in one of the council-owned parking places. So this is the issue here. So as you can imagine, charging for blue badges is not gone down too well in Waverley.
No, indeed. Now, finally, a mayor makes a mark at site of a new school.
Yeah, this is over in Woking, and it's the Ho Valley School. I'm sure you're aware of this large building.
Yes, you see it on the road going out of Woking towards Guildford.
Yeah, so it's a huge site and it's a huge project. It's in Eagley Road there, as you say, from Guildford to Woking. It's up to 840 pupils eventually. I believe it's going to be open by next September, I think, is when they're hoping to get there.
Yes, it's right near the garden centre, isn't it? And they've already done quite a bit of changes to the road layout going by it as well, to help access.
Yeah, there's also going to be a leisure facility there so that the community can use. Objectors have pointed out that there are obviously quite a few leisure facilities already in the area, including Woking Leisure Centre. So what is the need for another one? And the council took out a £13.5 million pound loan as well to pay for the leisure facilities, and that was objected to. That's quite a lot of money. Objectors also pointed to the loss of the greenbelt land there. However, the borough council remain keen to push this through, and it's making a huge amount of progress. The mayor of Woking, Councillor Graham Cundy, he said when he went to visit, he signed his name on the wall as a sort of marking the structural completion of the building. He said, "I'm delighted to see this much-needed educational development reach this important milestone, see firsthand the amazing progress made." So, yeah, it all looks on track, but again, there is local opposition, the disruption it's caused, because there's been a lot of temporary road lights in the area and a bit of an increased congestion, the loss of green belt, and the amount of money that it's costing to build the leisure facilities. But it's all happening now, so I guess the residents will just have to learn to love.
Yes, indeed. Well, I guess once it's completed and everything gets back to normal on the main road, then hopefully things will settle down. And also, of course, it's providing vital school places that we need.
Yes, school places remain a huge issue throughout Surrey. So, yeah, this will go some way to capita meeting demand in this area.
Right, well, thank you, Tom, so much for taking us through all the news this week. What an eventful week. We don't want another one quite like it, I don't think, really.
No, it's been very busy and, terrible for the Elmridge area in particular with that the huge fire.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much indeed, and we look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thank you, Graham. Have a good weekend.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
This has been Brooklyn's Radio News Review with Graham Laycock and from the Surrey Advertiser, Tom Smirthwaite. And you can hear the Surrey News Review every Friday at 1pm and 7pm on Brooklyn's Radio. It's compiled by the Surrey Advertiser, and you can keep up to date at getsurrey.co.uk.
If you've enjoyed this podcast, why not keep up to date with the sound of Surrey by listening live at brooklandsradio.co.uk or through our free mobile app.